This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. That's the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Nasty Boy.
Thank you. I wasn't sure which podcast I was at, but I knew I was nasty.
So nasty. Welcome in, everybody. I'm your host today, Mike, the Fantasy Hitman Wright, joined by the Nasty Boy.
Andy will be back. We'll have the trifecta.
Yes. Full strength as we power into the season, because what do we got? It is July 9th, Saturday. Welcome to the first Saturday show of the season. One of, what do we got, four? Four lined up?
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll just show up and we'll hit record if the time is right. But welcome in. Yes, the season is approaching rapidly. We got training camp here in just a couple of weeks. Then August hits, we're five shows a week. And make sure you're ready. Make sure you're ready for all those drafts. The Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com. That is our off-season draft product. Just jam-packed with all the fantasy goodness that you need to prepare. We're talking, you know, tons of tools for research, for building your own opinions. We have 100 video profiles where we break down, you know, just like 2 to 3 minutes on the top drafted players. Like, just,
I know a lot
this thing
of
is packed.
Oh yeah, I mean, we spend half a year working on it every year, but I know a lot of people, they end up getting the Ultimate Draft Kit, right before their drafts,
right?
And that's fine, you know, you're still gonna dominate, but it's like, if you're gonna spend the money at that point and get the Ultimate Draft Kit, improve your toilet time for the next, you know,
Absolutely.
2 months, because there is so much reading, so much watching now with all the videos. If you're illiterate, it doesn't even matter. You can watch the videos.
Why are you attacking people?
Oh, I'm not attacking people. I'm here for the illiterate.
Okay.
That's why we make these videos, Mike.
And this year we have really highlighted the cheat sheet creation, where you could do a whole bunch of custom things for that. I suggest you check it out. Follow us on the social medias, Instagram.com/fantasyfootballers. Or also on Instagram, all three of us there, at Andy Holloway, at Jason FFL. I am at FF Hitman. Let's get into this quick question.
Hey, ballers. Rob from Minnesota. I'm in a league where the winner from the previous year gets to change one rule for the upcoming season. Currently, we are super flex with two RBs, two wide receivers, a tight end, kicker, and a defense. What change would you make that you think would be fun for our league? Thanks. Love the show.
Well, for this particular league,
it's super easy.
I mean, it's staring us right in the face.
Yeah, he said kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, get that garbage out of your league.
Remove the kicker. You could just remove it altogether or change it into just another flex. But overall, Jason, do you have a rule that you want to change?
I saw the question earlier, like, what rule would I change? And I thought it was for my league. I didn't realize this was, like, you know, voicemail helping someone specifically who gets a unilateral decision, which is a lot of fun.
That's a lot of power.
That is a lot of power. And so, you know, I had my own things that I was thinking about, but as he was talking about his league, we said, you know, it's super flex, two running backs, two wide receivers. In a super flex, I like a deep league. I like wide receivers to come up a little bit. So I would say go three wide receivers. But basically the single rule would be take the kicker and turn it into a wide receiver. If you want to turn it into a flex, a second flex, that's great too. Either one of those, that's certainly what I would do in that league.
Yeah, and we have been, Jason and I specifically, big proponents of let's equalize quarterback yardage where a quarterback runs for 10 yards, that's a point. A quarterback throws for 10 yards, that is not a point because they need 25 yards to get that point. And it, I don't know.
Mike, do you love Trey Lance for fantasy football this year?
I love him for
fantasy. Mike, is Trey Lance a great NFL quarterback?
TBD.
Mike, is Trey Lance a great NFL quarterback?
Currently, no.
No, he's not. He couldn't beat out Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he's
well, he hurt his fingy.
Oh, guy, poor guy. No, I my point is, it's you. I want real NFL quality to be reflected in fantasy football, and it's not. Now, and the great part about Andy not being here today is no one gets to argue against
right.
us about the value that a rushing quarterback brings to the real NFL over passing. Because the reality is, if he rushes for 10 yards, it gets a first down, or he passes for 10 yards, it gets a first down. It's the same thing for that team.
That does remind me of the rule I would bring up. Fantasy managers named Andy no longer have first-round picks.
Ooh, man. I would say, I would say fantasy managers not named Jason don't get first-round picks. But, you know,
yeah,
you
mine was a little targeted. Yours was just
mine was very targeted, just for my own good and glory.
On today's show, it's a good old-fashioned mailbag episode, and the news is a little bit light, you know, just some smatterings of puff pieces, like Chase Edmonds, you know, he's
On track to be the lead guy, which he should be, and I think right yes. now he's undervalued in drafts.
Absolutely. I mean, so Jason is a best ball fanatic these days. You're doing a
the Bulldog.
You're doing the ball. Is that the one you're sharing with Kyle?
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah.
And what round are you in?
We are in round 10. Yes.
10. And one of the players that you are considering targeting here in round 10 is Chase Edmonds.
That's right.
That is absurd to me that Chase Edmonds, who feels like he's locked in to be the starting running back for the Miami Dolphins. Yes, they brought in Raheem Mostert, who, what's his injury timeline? We just don't know. And Raheem Mostert, no one's injury prone, but Raheem Mostert's body.
Well, he's currently injured. So
Raheem Mostert's body does not like to play NFL football. And then you have like Sony Michel, who, yeah, he had a good season filling in for the Rams when he was getting volume, but he is not the archetype that fits this particular offense that's coming over from San Francisco. You need speed at the running back position. The team, granted, the old regime was trying like everything they could to move on from Myles Gaskin. They gave Chase Edmonds, you know,
two years, $12 million,
not crazy money, but enough money that says, you are going to be our guy. So yeah. I've risen on Chase Edmonds. You've talked about that. You were rising on Chase Edmonds as well. And a starting running back for what should be a decent offense, adding Tyreek Hill, if Tua can get it done, a starting running back that late is outrageous. He won't go there in your home drafts, but he's still going way later.
Yeah, right now he's the running back 37. Which is
that is absurd.
I agree. There are not 36 teams in the NFL.
All right, let's get into the mailbag.
Mailbag. Mailbag.
Ooh, yeah. All right. Apparently, the staff, the production staff, really wants us to talk about Superflex. They're trying to make this a Superflex Saturday.
Oh, there's a lot of people playing that, and we don't.
Dozens of people no. around the globe are playing Superflex.
No, Superflex is super popular. It is not our go-to preferred format, but you know, I play in some Superflex and it's enjoyable as well. I think Brooks likes it better than Classic.
If I had to choose, yeah. If I were to start a new league, I think I would go Superflex.
So that's your rule change, Brooks, is to go Superflex?
Well, his league was already Superflex.
Yeah, I guess it is.
All right. Well,
would you go triple flex?
Oh,
just go
triple super.
Triple super.
No, no, no.
Oh, so that's man. It's a super duper.
That's what it's called. The super duper flex.
And actually, removing kickers would still be the top of the list.
All right,
the super flex.
So this question comes in from Instagram from Young Mamba 96. Would you draft Josh Allen in the first round or go running back?
No,
this isn't a super flex.
Yeah,
specific.
I would definitely draft Josh Allen in the first round. I think that there is. In a super flex, there are a few. There's a handful of quarterbacks.
Is he your 101 in a super flex?
Not necessarily. It depends on whether it's full PPR, if it's two wide receiver, three wide receiver. You've got arguments to be made for Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, and Josh Allen. But he's basically the 101, 102, or 103 to me. You've got a handful of these quarterbacks who are dual threat. Great, you've got Josh Allen, Kyler, Mahomes, and Herbert that will all definitely be in the first round, and then probably a few more.
This one's from Twitter, from Marcus Marsh. Do I go quarterback early or wait until rounds 4 and 5? So, let's say you're...
Oh, this is still super flex.
Yeah, this is still
okay.
Super flex Saturday, Jason.
Okay, because I thought we had moved past that.
No.
Getting a quarterback in round 4 or 5 is taking a quarterback super early.
So,
and just to be clear, we have a few super flex questions that I really wanted to make sure we address, but the whole mailbag isn't going to be super flex.
Oh, thank goodness.
So there you go.
Thank goodness. All right, I'm going to put you in your slot of back half. You're at the 108. 108, are you... do you feel like you're getting a quarterback there or you're waiting?
No, in that spot, I'm probably going to be waiting. I'm probably going to be looking for value later on. Want to leave the draft with three quarterbacks in that situation. And so I will be targeting guys that are under, like a Kirk Cousins, someone that will drop in. And it's not so much a matter of the round. It's not so much a matter of, well, is he in the fourth round or the third
right.
round or the sixth round? It's a matter of the tiers. So when you have the UDK and you are looking at our tier-based rankings, you take a look at which quarterbacks you want, what tier of quarterback you want as your first quarterback. And then you wait as long as possible to make sure that, okay, this is the tier I was happy with. All those other guys are gone. I've loaded up on running backs, wide receivers, whether it was 3, 4, 5 rounds, but now I'm still getting a quarterback from the tier that I wanted to start with, and then you're going to take a couple later, someone that maybe your third, I was going to say third quarterback's Trevor Lawrence, but Trevor Lawrence is, there's always someone that is such a believer in Trevor Lawrence that he goes pretty darn early. But someone like that, Tua or a guy like that.
What about Trevor Lawrence or Jameis as your quarterback 3?
The upside of Trevor Lawrence to be what he was drafted to be is far higher to me.
The thing to focus on and remember in Superflex is it's not like all of a sudden the quarterback is everything. It's just the supply and the demand of the market. And Jason is right. You knowing the tiers, that's what helps me know when I need to go in on quarterback. If there's still an elite quarterback there and I need to start two of them, I'm very happy to grab one of those in the first or the second round. But if the elite options, in my opinion, are gone, then I'm happy with, the three guys. Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. You want the three because it's much harder to stream the position off of your waiver wire if everyone is starting two of them. And most teams will have three. So you want to make sure that you got three options that you can stream from those options for the particular matchups.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier to grab a third quarterback if you wait a little bit and load up on your running backs and wide receivers through those first few rounds. It gives you more flexibility at the end to take a shot on a Matt Ryan or Trevor Lawrence or someone in the Justin Fields. A mobile rushing quarterback with your third quarterback pick.
This one's off Instagram from Jacob Batley. Possibility of Rashad Penny being a top 10 running back.
Whoo. Okay, so you, possibility of Rashad Penny, I'm going to softball myself here, being a really good running back for fantasy, I think is decent.
I want to remind you of the numbers real quick.
Yeah, sure.
So from week 14 through the end of the season, so that is, this is a five-game sample size, Rashad Penny on pace for 2,281 rushing yards and over 20 rushing touchdowns. Those are top 10 running back numbers, Jason.
Those are definitely top 10 running back numbers. Those were outlandishly.
Those are top one of all time.
Those are outlandishly high. The touchdown rate is, of course, something that's unrepeatable. They had Russell Wilson, and it was a very, very small stretch. But what he did show, and what he's shown through his whole career, is that when he's been given the opportunity of double-digit carries, he has always been good. He's the starter to me. It is not Ken Walker. We've talked about this a little bit. Ken Walker, in most drafts, on all ADPs from every site that I've seen, is going well ahead of Rashad Penny. That is insane to me. This is a loyal Pete Carroll who's going to give Rashad Penny the chance. Now, obviously, with the history of Rashad Penny, he could get injured. I mean, duh. And so if you want to take that shot on Ken Walker, but if he's getting double-digit carries every single week, I think Rashad Penny is definitely a top 16, 17 running back. It's hard for me to put him in the top 10 solely because of the quarterback and offense situation around him. He doesn't have a phenomenal offensive line, and things aren't going to open up and be a little bit easier the way that, you know, when we've got Russell Wilson behind the line to not stack the box. If you're your aura as a team is I run the ball, and your quarterback is Drew Lock or Geno Smith, then it's a pretty easy job for defensive coordinator to be like, let's just put everyone at the box. But I do think Rashad Penny is very undervalued, has a high ceiling. I just don't know if it's top 10.
And the reminder of we did a bit of a study looking at second-round running backs. I don't know if you remember these numbers off the top of your head, Kyle, or if you can pull them up, but just the percentage of rookie second-rounders outscoring the incumbent, it's very high. And that was kind of what helped push me towards Javonte Williams. Now, Melvin Gordon did finish higher than Javonte Williams for the Denver Broncos this past year, but it wasn't like Javonte finished at 17 and Melvin Gordon at 13. So historically, the trends are that Ken Walker has a very good shot of finishing higher in the end of the season than Rashad Penny. Granted, this is the same regime that drafted Rashad Penny in the first round, and then Chris Carson, who was just drafted the year before or 2 years, I can't remember, but in like the seventh,
I think
he was like one of the last picks in the entire draft. So it seemed like a lock that Rashad Penny would be the guy to take over the position for the Seattle Seahawks. But no, it was in fact Chris Carson. Pete Carroll, notorious for putting who? It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what money you're making. If you are what I view as the better player, you're going on the field. So I agree that the disparity in draft, in ADP right now between Rashad Penny and Ken Walker, it should not be that far apart. And Rashad Penny should not be going that late. Next question. Let's go to a voicemail here.
Hey, footballers. My question is, in a dynasty league, how do you know when your window has arrived and when you should go all in to try to win a championship? Thanks. Love the show.
All right, so a dynasty question. When do you know? Is it time to compete, or is it time to sell and prepare for next year?
Yeah, I would say that this is an easier question than you think. A lot of teams in the middle of the pack are really, really unsure. And because they're unsure, they're like, I'm not one of the best four teams. I'm not one of the worst four teams. So I don't know what to do. Do I tear it down? Do I go? Do I compete? Do I go all in? Go all in. If you're not one of the worst four teams, then you should be competing to win a championship this year. Players get injured. Players off of waivers come out of nowhere. Even in dynasty leagues, there's just crazy things that happen. And I find that the teams who him and Haw, and they feel like, well, I'm kind of built for the future, but I want to stay good. They're never going to win a championship, and they're never going to be bad enough to just completely, you know, so to you know, get the 101 and have right. some draft pick save their team. I find that if you go for it all in, trade what you need to trade to get guys to win it now, and you stay good, you have a higher chance of winning a championship, obviously, and then you can kind of just keep doing that forever until all of a sudden, you know, 6 years, 7 years later, maybe then you've run into a place where you've kind of aged out if this is a dynasty team, and then you just tear it down to the nubs and rebuild. But I would say that, you know, 65% at least of every league should be trying to compete to win the championship that year.
And look at your team. Don't compare your team to, like, don't go find the one super team in your dynasty league and be so trembling in your boots. My team has no way to compete. I think my team's good, but they cannot compete against that team. That team over there still needs things to go right. They still need injuries and the chaos of the NFL season to bounce in their favor. We have had so many super teams in our dynasty league where I've done it. I went and I looked at the roster and you go,
how do they
why are we even going to play this season? Because no one can possibly compete with that starting lineup over there. And then that team just gets hit with a wave of crap luck, and they don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, in our league of record, our main league, we had a problem for a good decade where our rules allowed for teams to just really sell out and become super teams the next year. And we had a run of 5 or 6 years in a row where there was a legit super team. They traded their soul to get all of the first round picks, and it just looked like an unbeatable team. One of those teams that I can remember did win the championship, and like, so 5, 6, 6, 7, whatever it was, did not win.
Right.
I mean, it's just what we think in the draft season has not played out through 16, now 17 weeks of NFL games.
This one's off of Instagram from Danny Donato. Elijah Mitchell or Miles Sanders?
Ooh,
Elijah Mitchell off the 49ers. Miles Sanders started for the Philadelphia Eagles. What's your temperature on those two guys?
I hear everything that you and Andy have been saying about Miles Sanders. The touchdown regression to the mean, he should absolutely get more touchdowns. You're not having Boston Scott with 7. I just can't get myself to believe that Miles Sanders is going to get it done this year. And so I'm pretty hot for Elijah Mitchell, especially where he's being drafted.
A lot of people are scared of Elijah Mitchell.
Well, and I get it, right? He was injured so much. And it wasn't like he missed the majority of the season. It was just that it was like 3 different injuries and the guy couldn't stay on the field. But at the same time, Kyle Shanahan loves this guy. He fits the system perfect. And when he was on the field, he performed great for fantasy. Now, this is scary, so be careful. The beat reporters are saying he's got a clear lockdown on the job.
Uh-oh.
Now, if you're unfamiliar with the history of beat reporters in San Francisco, they pretty much always get it wrong. That is the current word out of town, is that he's got the lockdown on the job, and it makes sense from what you saw last year. He had the job on complete lockdown, so it's a good running team, and I think they're going to want to run the ball like even more than last year, because Trey Lance is coming in, and I think they're just going to establish the run like crazy. Like, that's all Kyle Shanahan's going to do, and I could see Elijah Mitchell getting 20 carries a game, and then he'll break, and then take a couple weeks and then get 20 carries a game again. So I am far more on the Elijah Mitchell side.
I have Mitchell slightly ahead of Miles Sanders, but to the point of, you know, running back 24 for Mitchell, running back 26 for Sanders. That's not a huge discrepancy. That's of like some drafts based on my team, maybe I take Sanders. Some drafts I might take Mitchell. I do have like pretty strong confidence that Elijah Mitchell will be the guy. Where I think it's not just Elijah Mitchell, the injuries of the past year that have people concerned. It's the fact that it seems to be a new RB1 every single year for Kyle Shanahan. Now, some of those things are, in fact, injury-related, but TDP was a third-round pick,
yes.
Kyle? Okay, Jason, thank you. Kyle, do better. Jason,
yeah, seriously,
great Kyle. Work. Great was, draft knowledge.
I was so quick on that.
But
also, Chris Carson was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so TDP was a third-round pick, but Trey Sermon was a third-round pick last year, and he didn't seem to fit the mold of what Kyle Shanahan prefers in a running back. And everyone was like, oh, what? But draft capital says that Trey Sermon should be the guy. And then he was, in fact, not the guy. It was going to be Raheem Mostert. Mostert gets hurt in week one. And Elijah Mitchell, out of nowhere, you know, seemingly out of nowhere, comes and takes the job away from Sermon. So I think that that is part of the concern for the fantasy community is, will it actually be Elijah Mitchell? I still think it will be.
When you say doesn't fit the mold, what you mean, if people don't know what the Kyle Shanahan mold is very, very fast.
Yeah, speed.
that's like speed. All that matters. You can be big, you can be small. You just do you run under or over 4.4? Yeah, no, you're out.
Yeah, none of this.
You're out.
In Shanahan's house. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of your questions.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners. to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers.
Welcome back, everyone. Let's get into another voicemail.
Hey, this is Austin. I just am curious if Adam Gase was a jet log. Thanks. Love you. Bye.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, very good. Well done.
Okay.
Number two.
So, Adam Gase, legendary. Terrible head coach in the NFL.
Right.
Received the nickname of being number two.
Mm-hmm. Because he's a turd. I mean, I don't want to be too crass. He's just a b-hole. But
yeah, he was also the b-hole on this team. Coach the Jets. We recently had a discussion about jet logging.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I mean,
this
so?
Is it, no. It's a really astute. Our listeners are obviously very astute. They're wise, and I think, I mean, we've never given out a listener of the week on the main fantasy footballers ever, because that's really something for the Footcast. But Mike,
Wait.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Are you serious?
We can break molds here and give away a listener of the week on the main show.
Listener of the week.
Well, congratulations. I did not catch the name there, but the first ever listener of the week for the main Fantasy Footballers podcast. Congratulations.
Listen to the footcast.
Call your parents immediately and tell them of the honor that you have received.
That's ridiculous. The parents are listening.
Oh, that's
they
great
know.
Point.
They're going to call you pretty soon and congratulate you.
This one's off of Instagram from multiple people. They want to know, DJ Moore or Terry McLaurin?
Oh, yes. This is great.
DJ Moore got the upgrade, well, as we see it, an upgrade of Baker Mayfield. Now, I feel very confident that it will be Baker Mayfield. But if they could have this training camp battle, even if they have that, Baker Mayfield is going to win.
Yeah.
So
does anybody
let's just
in
lock
this,
that in.
Does anybody in this studio think there's a decent chance that Baker Mayfield is not the starter for this team? I'm curious.
We got a lot of head shaking. Okay,
they
that's
said
three
no.
notes.
That's stupid of you. I was going to bet a $100 this. You win if I'm wrong. Nothing else on the line. But you guys are cowards.
Uh-oh. Al Borland is...
I like a good bet, but I'm not taking that one.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So DJ Moore right now is our consensus wide receiver 12. So Jason, you got him inside your top 12 now. You have him at wide receiver 11.
I do.
Do you remember where he was before the...
Yeah, he
the
was
Baker news.
I think he was 16.
Okay, so he made a decent jump for you
in the Bulldog underdog fantasy league that Kyle and I are playing. We had the choice between DJ Moore and Terry McLaurin, and you know it's best ball, big upside. The big weeks get in, touchdowns are going to play a lot more heavily, and we decided to go Terry McLaurin. Now this was before the Baker Mayfield trade. And I can tell you I have regrets. Because we were talking about it. I even mentioned, like, man, the quarterback could change here. We went with McLaurin because he did get a quarterback upgrade. Now, neither one of these guys got a Russell Wilson upgrade, obviously. We are not, you know, saying this guy's going to be – either one of them are going to be fantasy superstars to the moon. But when you compare just DJ Moore and Terry McLaurin without any quarterback, and you just say, who's more athletic? They're both super athletic. Who's more athletic? It's DJ Moore. Who's a better route runner? I think it's DJ Moore. Who's just a better wide receiver? I think DJ Moore. Now you get a guy who is coming in and can throw touchdowns. I mean, Sam Darnold, his last 2 years has been like...
under 10.
I'm saying like his touchdown percentage has been like 2.3 or something unfathomably atrocious. So the touchdowns, I think, are going to be... in the favor of DJ Moore. I'm going to bet on the talent. I love both guys, but I will take DJ Moore over Terry McLaurin.
2.5 and 2.2 the past two seasons. Touchdown right there for Samuel Darnold.
Yucky doo-doo.
I mean, I like both players, but I will buy more into the upside of DJ Moore. I had him ranked higher than Terry McLaurin before what I saw as the upgrade of Baker, so I'm going to stick with DJ Moore. Off of Instagram... Schiavelli.
Oh,
I could have gone with Schiavelli, but I went with Schiavelli.
It sounds so much better. And yeah. If it is Schiavelli, I would,
you know,
reevaluate. Yeah, yeah, just workshop what Mike's talking about.
Schiavelli.
Oh, very nice.
Thoughts on rookie Damian Pierce being the lead back over Marlon Mack for the Houston Texans?
Well, the depth chart is very nice for Damian Pierce.
Yeah, you got Marlon Mack. You got
Sexy Rexy. He's
Sexy
still there.
Rex Burkhead is still there. Do we have anybody else that we need to worry about for the Houston Texans?
Well, I would say probably not, but what the Houston Texans do like to do in this era is have about 10 people at every skill position that are all mediocre, so and battle it out across many aged vets.
Royce Freeman's there.
Oh, is he? Exactly.
And Agumba Wale.
Oh, like, give me more. How many more? They were actually allowed. A lot of people don't know this. They were given permission because of everything that's happened with them by the NFL. They get an 83-man roster on Sundays. Everyone else has 53, but they're like, man, you don't have any talent, right. So you can really shotgun approach your roster. So, I mean, the reality here for Damian Pierce is you can't find a much better backfield to beat. Marlon Mack was a good running back, a good young running back.
Mm-hmm.
He projects to be the starter, but he's coming off of an Achilles injury.
He's a year removed now.
That is hopefully great. This is the year of Achilles information. We are going to learn so much now that we have Cam Akers a year removed. We've got Marlon Mack a year removed, and we've got, you know, the James Robinson.
Yeah.
Late, but also had no athleticism to start and was a great running back. So it's like, does he need it? Does he
right.
need Achilles? We don't know. So we're going to learn a lot, but yeah, I mean, this is a winnable depth chart. The problem for Dameon Pierce is, history says that when you are not, you know, a day one, day two draft pick, it just doesn't really work out for you.
It's tough, yes.
You know, it's like there's a lot of guys that are like this. Tyler Algier for the Falcons, that's not a bad situation to try to crack a relevant role, but history is not on the side of fourth round and later draft picks at running back.
I mean, and on top of that, he has to overcome the Houston Texans team as a whole. Now, I like they had, you know, pretty sure Rex Burkhead had one or two spike weeks where he just got a bunch of touchdowns and a bunch of volume. Dameon Pierce also working against him is, I mean, 4-year player out of Florida. His production profile is not what you are hoping for like there's not one season where you're seeing a huge market share of attempts, touchdowns, or receptions. Tyler Algier, at least his last year at BYU, great. Like a great production profile heading into the season where you can get kind of excited. Now, but granted, Florida is they're a weird team when it comes to these things and the overloading a player. Pierce is interesting to me. Like when I watched him, he looks like he's shifty and has juice, and I do think by the end of the season, he will be the guy. I don't know how long it takes. I don't know what Marlon Mack has left, because when he was on the field, I mean, they kept insisting for the Colts, because they were trying to showcase him for a trade. They kept insisting that Marlon Mack was ready to play last year. He was not, if you watched him take any snaps for the Colts. So I think that there is a strong chance that Dameon Pierce is the starter. There's a decent chance he's the starter before week one, too. So he's interesting to me as a late-round flyer. Let's see. Next question comes in from – this one's from Twitter, from @RichHomieTom. Do you think Isaiah Spiller has a chance to eat away some carries from Austin Eckler this year? Isaiah Spiller being everyone's – by everyone, I mean everyone else. People loved Isaiah Spiller. Jason, you were on board?
I was 100% on board with Isaiah Spiller when it comes to film. I thought he was, you know, he was my running back 3 in the pre-draft process. Spiller can catch the ball, is a great pass catcher, has the size that I prefer in an NFL running
back. Very young.
217 pounds. He is not yet 21 years old. He can catch the ball. Loved Isaiah Spiller. And then
he plummeted in the NFL draft.
The combine happened where he ran a 4.69.
Woof.
And it was like, oh, that's not good. He was bad on his speed score, bad on his burst score. And it was like, well, we'll see what the NFL says. Does the NFL say that athleticism is a real deal breaker for them, or are they still going to take him? Because in that pre-NFL draft process, he was often mock drafted in the second round as
yes.
a day two pick.
Yes.
So had a lot of hype. Has great film, good production, and is very young. I love him. Dameon Pierce was drafted above Isaiah Spiller. He's a fourth-round pick. Lands in a great situation for him, though, because outside of Austin Eckler, I do think that there is a lack of running back talent there.
He's the number two running back for the Chargers. And over the past few seasons, with their actions, the Chargers have said, we want to have a compliment to Austin Eckler. We can't completely wear him out. So they took the chance here for Isaiah Spiller. Yes, I do think that by the end of the year, there's a chance that Isaiah Spiller has become more of a thorn for the fantasy value for Austin Eckler than we're hoping for right now. So yes, I do see Spiller eating away some carries. He's eating away some goal line opportunities.
That's the issue.
As well.
Austin Eckler had an out freaking rageous 20 touchdowns last year. That's not happening again under any situation, but now you can actually look and say, well, shoot, there's a clear situation where Isaiah Spiller, the 217-pound rookie, can come in on the goal line and maybe, you know, it's funny because he is the big body guy, but I didn't really, if I'm being honest, see on film like the pile pusher for the big bodied guy.
I saw a slow, not strong running back. I don't know what film you guys were watching and I was watching. Because we saw two very different things, which is that's the difficulty of film. It is so subjective in what each watcher is looking for.
I saw a good receiving back with big body, and I love that. That's basically okay. What I saw. So with big body, yeah, he's a guy that I think will eat in a little bit to Eckler, but not enough to make an impact on like. Not drafting Eckler in the around in the sixth spot. Yeah.
All right. This one's off of Instagram from MacDaddy301. Can you give us a reason why Jonathan Taylor should not be the 101?
Sure. Easily. He will not score as many points as Christian McCaffrey on a per game basis.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey is otherworldly when it comes to fantasy production because of the volume he gets, the receptions he gets. He cannot score touchdowns and still dominate. So Jonathan Taylor is going to be great, but he needs those touchdowns. His opportunities were outrageously high. His goal line work was yes. As good as we've seen in a decade.
29 carries inside the five.
Yeah, I mean, that is
was first. Second place would be James Conner with 19.
Yeah.
And you can go back. You know, multiple years. I like Jason's saying, essentially a decade, and you have maybe like two or three guys who have seen anywhere close to that level of carries inside the five.
There takes a lot of luck to
get
your
absolutely.
Team in that position. To just be inside the five takes some luck that you got there but didn't score from outside of there. Some of that's going to change. He's not going to get 30 carries inside the five again. So the touchdowns will probably come down for him. He is still my number one because of the youth and the injury history with Christian McCaffrey. But if you want to say why shouldn't he be the 101, it's to me because his upside is not the same as Christian McCaffrey.
And while I do think that those carries inside the five, they more than likely will come down. How much? Is it catastrophic? I don't think so. Like, he's still he's my number two running back behind McCaffrey because I just want to look in the mirror and hate myself and take McCaffrey for a third straight year in a row and feel that pain. On the upside, though, for Jonathan Taylor, Matt Ryan is in town. Now, I think Matt Ryan's a much better quarterback than Carson Wentz, but what I do know for sure is Matt Ryan – historically we've seen huge running back reception totals from Matt Ryan. And this is exactly like, go back a couple years, you have Phillip Rivers. Matt Ryan is not going to be trying to extend the play. If the play is breaking down, Matt Ryan is going to throw the ball to Jonathan Taylor or in Nyheim Hines as well. But I'm saying on first and second down, when Taylor's the back and it's not a run play, I think that his reception numbers are very safe. Last year, 53 targets, 40 catches turned into 360 yards. I mean, the guy's a big play waiting to happen. I think there's a chance that he's in the 50 reception total this year.
I would agree completely. His receptions should go up. I still have Jonathan Taylor. I actually have him above Christian McCaffrey in my rankings due to the youth and the injury risk of Christian McCaffrey. But I would agree that, you know, look, Carson Wentz, when he was the quarterback, he looks to extend plays. He scrambles around. And look, he's like, how can I buy time to throw it as far as I can?
And not only as far as I can, where's the triple coverage that I can throw the ball into?
Well, the nice thing is that he can overthrow. So it's like, I can overthrow all three defenders. Check this out. He seems like a player like that in like, you know, you're just out on a field playing some, you know, just
street ball,
some pickup street ball. He'd be like the guy that would scramble around, and then just punt it. Just see you later, ball. It's going to be the same result. So, yeah, you should have more receptions for Jonathan Taylor, but that's kind of the case for it's hard to have a question that's like, tell me why to not draft the great young stud back.
All right, this one's off of Twitter from @Mendez4109. Redraft keeper question, half PPR. Keep DeAndre Swift for the 301 or A.J. Dillon at 812.
Ooh, man.
So small value on Swift or couple round value on A.J. Dillon.
So I would argue that it's a small round value. I think Swift is, the more that drafts get going, I think he's going at the very beginning of the second. So it's like a full round.
Sure.
201 to 301. A.J. Dillon in the eighth, basically the ninth, the 812 is exceptional value. A.J. Dillon, I think, personally has been overdrafted for where I've seen him in some of these leagues.
We were talking on yesterday's footcast that I like A.J. Dillon a lot, and then the ADP when we did a best ball draft with Kyle and Betts for the DFS podcast, and I could not believe A.J. Dillon's ADP. It was very inflated.
Yeah, A.J. Dillon has been drafted very high, but I will say this. I think he is the type of player that is kind of different between a home league and a best ball league, because he's got that built in. You know that Aaron Jones is going to miss a couple games. You don't have to worry about when you get him, and he'll 6'10 have a couple.
6'10 in sleeper right now.
Right. So if you're talking a home league, 6'10 to 8'10 value is not as, is actually less value,
right,
than second round to third round. So I'll take DeAndre Swift in your normal keeper league.
For me, this isn't even a question of value. This is DeAndre Swift. He's finished as a top 20 running back both years that he's played in the NFL. He does not need the situation around him to change to finish as a top 5 running back. A.J. Dillon can be a top 24 guy, but to jump into that range of true league-winning running back, his situation has to change. Aaron Jones has to miss some time, or A.J. Dillon's role has to change dramatically, and all goal line work goes to him instead of Aaron Jones, while maintaining some of the passing work that he was receiving towards the end of the year. So this is an easy question for me. I get, you see these, a running back, a useful running back in the eighth, and it's juicy. I totally understand that, but DeAndre Swift can be a league winning running back, where Dillon needs some stuff to happen for that to.
Yeah, they can both be a league winning running back, but one already projects to be.
Right, exactly. We got one more voicemail here. Let's hit it.
Hey, Ballers. This is Tyler calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, hey!
I'm going into my first Dynasty startup draft, and I was wondering if the sixth round is too early to take Chris Olave. Love the show. Thank you, guys.
All right, so Tyler from Phoenix, Arizona. Dynasty startup question, Chris Olave in the sixth round.
So I know myself and Kyle really like Olave. We are, I think, higher than consensus on Olave for both redraft and dynasty leagues. So the sixth round is really just a matter of ADP. Let me pull up where current dynasty startup ADPs are going.
Okay, because off the top of my head, without ADP, Olave in the sixth feels fantastic. Like, when you're in a dynasty startup, these first-round really young wide receivers, even though you have no proof that they're actually good in the NFL, they get skyrocketed into the early rounds. So I think him dropping in, I would see that as him dropping into the sixth, and then I'd be very happy to take him.
Yeah, and you are exactly right. Right now, he's basically the 63rd player, so he's going there right now. I don't think that's too early to draft him.
He's
extremely talented. They gave up so much to get him. He projects to be a really important part of the offense. It's funny, though. Garrett Wilson in current best ball drafts is going behind Olave. And I was questioning myself on this today because you got a guy that's higher drafted. And if you look at the receiving core around them, it's easy to argue that Olave has more competition, right? Like, you know, you got Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas. Now, obviously, if Michael Thomas is injured and Jarvis Landry is old and washed, whatever. But those are two good NFL wide receivers. Whereas over with Garrett Wilson, his college teammate who was drafted ahead of him, you have
Elijah Moore and Corey Davis.
Elijah Moore, unknown. Corey Davis, meh. At best, meh. And so it's like, and then you could say, oh, but Zach Wilson. It's like, oh, but Jameis Winston. Like, it's not like either of these guys are great. So I think both of those rookie wide receivers are good. And here's just a dynasty trick or a little tip of knowledge.
Well, is it a tip or is it a trick?
A lot of tips are tricks. So I'm going to say both.
Okay, so a tip is always a trick? Or is a trick always
a tip?
No,
a tip is not always a trick. A trick, at, and I'm using that word not as like, gotcha.
Okay.
I think is usually a tip. So I'm gonna give you both here, a tip and a trick, which is first round rookie wide receivers are always great in Dynasty when it comes to value. It doesn't matter what he does this year. His value will go up next year. If he sucks, it's going to be fine. Like,
yeah,
first round rookie wide receivers retain their value. So there's really no harm in drafting him. If you don't believe in him after this year, you can still move him for good value because it's just kind of universally true for first round rookie wide receivers in Dynasty.
All right, we're going to get out of here on this question off of YouTube from Dr. Jones. Is that Dr. Jones, is that an indie thing? I don't know. Keep, trade, cut. Jalen Waddle, DJ Moore, Mike Williams. Let's put your DJ Moore love to the test, Jason.
Mm.
Big okay. Mike Williams,
yeah.
Playing with Big Herb.
I love me some Mike Williams. I'm going to take this question, though, to be not best ball, but your redraft league.
Yes.
And if that's the case, I want DJ Moore over Mike Williams. I think Mike Williams' variance will be higher. I know DJ Moore's he has also been a high variance guy, big games, a disappearing X, but I think that it will be more consistent. So I will trade Mike Williams, and I will cut Jalen Waddle. Are you the opposite?
I am keeping Mike Williams, trading DJ Moore, and cutting Jalen Waddle.
Well, there you go.
Unfortunately. That is going to do it for today's Saturday show. Remember, the Ultimate Draft Kit is available and getting updated very often, ultimatedraftkit.com. We hope you enjoyed this fine episode. We hope that grass was mowed to perfection. Stay safe, everybody. We will see you next week. The band will be back together. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.